Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is November 19th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to motivitality.com and listening to years and years' worth of archives of them, or subscribing to whatever podcast application you use, just subscribing to Motivitality, and they'll be automatically downloaded within a couple days of the call. As a reminder, there will be no call next week as it is Thanksgiving. But I will be thinking about you guys, and that's because I am very thankful to have the opportunity to talk to you every week and to be in this industry and everything else. So, reminder, no call next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks after today. So that starts after a while, not today. Stick around for today. And so there. So that's that. So I'll start the call off the way I do every week, or just about every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the industry, or anything we can help you with? Any questions or anything we can help you with?
Elliot, nobody has anything. I do.
Go ahead, Jen.
I'm putting out a request for good vibes, for prayers, if that's the thing that you do, for Denise Roberts. For many of you probably know Denise, but if you don't, she is the executive editor of Water Conditioning and Purification. When I came into the industry, more, you know, going to the WQA conferences and things like that, she welcomed me and was one of the first smiling faces and one of the first people to really kind of talk to me. And she's just always, I've been honored to call her a friend, but last September, she, of 2019, her husband of 20 years passed away unexpectedly. She's just had a series of events. Her mother passed away on like the 6th or 7th of November, then her mother-in-law the following day. And just a couple days ago, I believe it was Monday, there was a fire. Somebody had started just a small fire burning leaves and things like that, and ended up catching her house and many other homes on fire, and she's lost everything. And still she continues to, on her Facebook page, you know, she's like, hey, don't worry about me. Help many others, I'll be okay, help all the others that lost their homes. So just, she's not requesting monetary or anything like that, but if anybody could send great vibes and prayers her way, I think that would mean a lot to her.
It is times like this, like that, it is a great opportunity to really show somebody how much you appreciate them in, you know, as in the industry. One of the things I was talking to when we had a WQA group not too long ago, with that, it was a meet and greet kind of around, I forget what they called it, this one of the last ones we had where they broke us out into Zoom breakout sessions, and there was somebody new in the industry that had hopped on there, and it was very clear that the 8 or 10 of us, except for him, knew each other, people that had been around the industry for a really long time. And you know, we were joking and kind of talking to each other. And this guy pops up and he goes, so how do you guys know each other? I'm brand new here. How do you know each other? And we were, you know, that's we told him, you know, you get involved, you go to the activities, you participate. When the meetings come back, you introduce yourself, you go to these things. And I was talking to somebody else about that and telling them that when I first came in the industry, and particularly when I first went to the WQA convention, and you see these really big names, you see these, they have this gigantic screen and it's a big fanfare, you know, and you get this, they put the names up on the screen and the music, and they give these awards for these people that have dedicated 20 plus years of their life or 30 years or 40 years or 60 years of their life to the industry. And everybody, you know, they get up there and they give this very humbling speech or whatever. And then you see them in the hall and you talk to them and it's very intimidating. You know, you see these movers, these shakers, these big names in the industry. And a lot of people wouldn't even think about going up and talking to them and really being in introducing yourself and getting to know them. What I found was that most of them, 98% of them, do not see themselves the way most of the people in the audience are looking up them at them as you know, somebody that has made it, somebody that's a big name in the industry. They see themselves as somebody that's just has a job and it's going out there and doing the right thing and help. If they have an opportunity to employ people and to give them jobs and to help their customers and to help the industry, that's what they do. And what I discovered is when you walk up and you talk to them, they are just laid back, down to earth, easygoing people. And what I have discovered in my life, I don't know if any of you have ever had experience with this, but a lot of times people that are leaders in their industry, the more success they tend to have in their industry, the more lonely they become. Because more and more as they rise through the ranks in what they do and what they participate in, their personal relationships have to become lower because, you know, as you gain more responsibility for yourself and the industry and people that you're responsible for, you have to be much more careful about sharing your personal world and your personal, you know, developing those friendships. You wonder whether or not people are trying to be friends with you because of your position in what you do, or if they are genuinely becoming friend. You know, there is some caution. There's a wall that builds up there because you do have responsibilities in the industry. But that can become increasingly lonely, so that when a tragedy occurs in your life, as happens more often as we get older, the amount of support one might have, you'd think that there would be an outpouring of support, and often there is. But I also think that there may be less than what you realize. And so my point to that is this is a prime opportunity to introduce yourself to somebody like Denise. You know, Denise does, she's been around a long time. She manages Water Conditioning Purification Magazine. She's the editor for that. She's contributed to this industry in a lot of ways for a long, long time. And you probably have seen her name if you're on LinkedIn or on Facebook or, you know, on the groups or at WQA events. She's one of the, as Jen mentioned, one of the nicest people in the world. And, you know, whether it's a prayer, sending thoughts and prayers or actually just reaching out and saying, hey, I know you don't know me, but I follow you and you know, on these events, and you would be amazed at how far a personal message to somebody, and just to use Denise as an example, I think you would be amazed at how far that personal touch, that personal reach out went. We really are, and we've talked about this in the past, you know, about some people see this industry just as a job, and I get it. Okay, I get that for some people this is a job, but for a lot of people in this industry, it is their life. It is everything. It becomes the people that we see at WQA, the people that we see, you know, around the industry. They really are family, and you know, and it's they will understand and appreciate. They may not know you specifically at this point or recognize your name, but they would recognize you as family if you reached out. And I'm just using this one situation as an example. But I think it does highlight the importance of getting out there and just saying hi to people and just being there. Jen, you want to stop my rambling and add anything to that?
Nope, I'm good. If anybody else wants to add to it.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? And thank you for that, Jen. I appreciate it, yes, a lot. So anybody else have anything? Okay. So what I wanted to talk about today was just, you know, one of the challenges that we have, if you may have heard me talk about this before, is that when we go to hire somebody, there are almost two automatic disqualifiers for when we bring somebody in. Number one, you know, if we have a client, they're asking us to bring somebody in for them, we... And when I say automatic disqualifiers, it's not true. There are always exceptions. We will always interview everybody. But the first thing that we look at is previous water treatment experience. Really, I have rarely had an incident where somebody has worked at one water treatment company and moved on to another and been successful. I've seen instances of it happening. It does happen, but it's rare. Okay. It's rare that happens. Usually, that person has learned it wrong. Or they've had habits there that I wouldn't want them to bring to the new company that we were helping train and hire for. The second is a lot of previous sales experience. I am not a big fan, as you guys know, of the yuck, yuck, back, slappy, pushy, pushy, got to buy something from me type sales presentation. Or the sales approach, I really don't like that. I like it to be a lot more customer centric. I like it to emulate what other professionals do, you know, by diagnosing the problem, by asking questions, by listening more than talking, and making a recommendation based on what the customer is looking for. That has served us pretty well. We've found some really, really excellent people, many of whom are on a call today, actually, that we've had the honor of bringing in from scratch, people with no sales experience and certainly no experience in the industry. Corey being one of those, Bob Milani being one. Maria, you know, you guys come to mind as like the top of the top, even if I do say so myself, you know, and people that we found and were and recognized, you know, what we look for when we bring somebody in is a desire to serve people, a desire to help people, somebody who's willing to give more than they take, somebody that understands that that's what sales is about, is giving more than you take, somebody that understands that closing doesn't require a big fancy memorized technique, but rather offering more than what the customer is asking for, offering more value than the money that you're asking for. The challenge in that comes in honing those skills. You know, there are a ton of natural athletes out there, people that just have a natural athletic ability that would never make it in the professional sports arena. You know, they would never be a sports pro because even though they might have more natural talent than many of the people who are in the pros, they don't have the desire or the drive or the resources to really take those natural skills and practice them and train with them and really work with them to make themselves better and better and better. So one of the things that Jen, Corey, and I are really good at doing is recognizing that inner talent, recognizing the natural ability. You can kind of see that based on what people's work experience is and, you know, what they've done in the past. But what becomes more difficult is to teach them that drive, the motivation to hone those skills. You know, and Corey and I have talked about this before, and, you know, as an example of this, somebody can have really great sales ability, you know, a natural, they can be charismatic, they can be good listeners, they can do all of that stuff, but then they're still using, because they've read a few sales books and they've gone through sales training classes or whatever, and they've heard some, or they've talked to other salespeople who talked about their sales pitch, or their, you know, what they sold, how much they sold, and their commission, and all these words. Well, a way to kind of practice is to learn a lingo, right? Instead of saying pitch, you say presentation. Instead of saying commission, you say fee for service. Instead of saying I sold somebody, you can say I helped them with something. That does not change your ability to present. That's just learning additional skills that will help hone your natural ability, you know, that will help grow your natural ability. One of the biggest challenges that I face, and I think Jen and Corey have run into this as well, as we as a team have been training sales professionals within this industry, is that we do run into those people that are, in fact, most of the people that we bring on, that we work with, what we call the MV pros, are frankly nice people. They're and that's a characteristic that makes them really good at sales, in my opinion, is that people like them. You know, that's one of the qualities that makes them good. The problem with that is they also do not like the pushy salesperson, which is good. But that can sometimes go too far the other direction, okay? And if we use the doctor example, you know, if you go to a doctor and they do a ton of diagnostic and they're diagnosing everything, and they see something that you might benefit from, but they would be uncomfortable having the procedure done themselves. Okay, so, you know, if I just had my 50th birthday, I went to the doctor, and if the doctor said to me, you know, I'm not really, just after diagnosing me, I'm not really seeing any indications of any colon cancer or anything like that, you probably that's not something you have to do right now to go get tested. That in the long run, I appreciate that. Trust me, I don't want to go have that procedure done. It's an invasive procedure. I'm not looking forward to having those done, but I know that in men over 50, or women, men and women over 50, you know, my dad had prostate cancer when he was 58. I'm not looking forward to going and getting those tests done on a regular basis. And I don't want to. I don't want to. My doctor can probably sense that. But how responsible would it be of my doctor if she didn't push me or encourage me to have those tests done? And wouldn't I be much happier, let's say a test came back positive, would I be happier that she did encourage me to go get those tests done, or would it bother me a lot that she, that would I, you know, and that point, naturally, you're going to be looking for reasons to blame other people. And yeah, you kick yourself a little bit, but you, you know, you also might feel like you were cheated a little bit by the doctor that didn't enforce it, that didn't ask you, that didn't follow up, that didn't call and say, how come you didn't get those tests done? You know, Now, would that have really been the doctor's fault? I mean, that's another debate, okay? But I can say that it really wouldn't matter whether it was genuinely my doctor's fault or not. What would matter is that, you know, I in seeking reasons and explanations and trying to cope with it, would probably, I think it would be natural to place some blame there, which would make me not look favorably on my doctor at that point. So how does that relate to what we're doing in sales? Well, there's a lot of times when nice people, genuinely decent and nice people walk in with the desire to help, and they're dealing with maybe a strong personality who, you know, talks over you and seems busy, and they have this air of importance about them, right? And so you go in and you talk about the softener, and you feel like, or maybe the whole house system and the, you know, the softener, the filter and everything's good. And maybe you mention the drinking water system, and they're like, no, I don't buy bottled water. We don't need any of that stuff. Okay, and then you let it go. And then later down the road, you know, so what's really painful is when 6 months down the road, even later, maybe, you know, it's a month before you're able to reschedule and get in and do the in-person follow-up, and you see that they just bought, while during that month, they bought a drinking water system from somebody else. That one's a kick in the gut. I tell you, I've had that happen to me before. It's a kick in the gut. The other thing is, you know, in 6 months, you find out that they're looking for it, and you're wondering, why didn't they call me? Why didn't they call me? Well, is it possibly because you were not the professional in that situation? You offered them what they were comfortable talking about at that moment, but as a professional, it is your responsibility to step out of that comfort zone a little bit. And you can still do this by being nice. In fact, I would say that it is being nice to give them all the options and to talk about them. You are offering that. But remember, just like you don't have the medical experience that your doctor has to make those decisions about your own health always, that customer does not have the experience that you have in knowing what issues they should address. So first, one of the easiest ways to remedy that is to stop thinking about the water treatment equipment that you're recommending as piecemealed equipment. Stop thinking about it as one item or two items or three items a la carte. Think about it as a whole system. Begin to go in and approach it as this is an entire system. And get in your mindset that, I mean, look at your car, comes with tires, and you know, there are certain things that come on your car that you would never think about buying a car without. Okay, tires, steering wheel, upholstery. And you would never, seats in the car. You got to have seats in the car. You would never think about buying a car without all of the components necessary for it to function. Okay, your car has an electrical system. It has a cooling system. It has a power system, you know, the engine. It has, you know, all the components to your vehicle are their systems on their own. Yet they are all part of one vehicle. And people would not buy a car without an electrical system or without a coolant system. Okay, not unless they're looking to rebuild and put that stuff together, right? So, you know, you can think of a computer the same way. The computer has a power supply and a graphics card and a memory, and you know, but in order to get that system to work, you wouldn't buy a computer without the whole system. It's a system. Okay, so if you get in the mindset of presenting an entire system, there are going to be times, but it's going to be rare. There are going to be times that customer is going to not want part of that system. But the default approach should be making the assumption that that is the system that you're putting in. And on those rare occasions, be willing to back off of that system or that component when the customer gives you a good explanation. My point with this is that the you are the expert. And while the customers may have gone, they have talked to a couple different competitors, while they have done a little Google researching, they're not the expert. They do not even, you've only been in the industry for a month. If you've been properly trained, you already know way, way more than what that customer does in most instances. So be the expert, be the professional, and make the recommendation. And don't get stuck in the trap of being the nice doctor that doesn't want to ask your patient something uncomfortable because they're a little resistant or not, or giving indications that they may not want to do it. Especially if it's, as a doctor, it's your job to make that recommendation to them, to encourage them to look at it. Now, you cannot force them, nor should you force them to do it. I mean, it is eventually their story. It's their responsibility to make the appointment and go get that test done. Okay, just like it is ultimately your customer's decision on whether or not they buy the reverse osmosis system or the UV light or the extra, you know, whatever makes up your system. Okay, but being nice may also in sales sometimes equate to being irresponsible or not being thorough in your approach on your presentation. Thoughts on this or questions or comments on my little dialogue lecture there? Anybody?
I think we can all be guilty of that at sometimes. I mean, sometimes it's easier to, shall we say, take what you can get and run.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, absolutely. And in fact, sometimes we get in the habit of taking what we can get and running. I actually noticed that on my last physical that I went to, that my doctor was a lot less. I really like her personality. She's got just a great personality, but she was less. She didn't want to do those uncomfortable things. She knew I was nervous about doing them, so you know it was only after I had insisted and asked that she said, "Yeah, you definitely should do that. Here, set an appointment." And she wrote me a script to go make those appointments and get those tests done. And that makes me question, okay, you know, obviously she's a doctor. I'm not going to second guess her either on it. But I got the sense of exactly what you're saying, is that you do it for a long time. You're a general practitioner. You're doing a physical. And you go, let's just skip the stuff that nobody likes to do. And I don't like, you know, ultimately it loses, there's some credibility lost there, not gained. And I found it to be a similar situation, you know. So anybody else, any final comments or thoughts? Anybody? All right. Well, with that, I just, again, want to say how thankful I am to all of you that week after week after week join this call and give me an opportunity to just spew out stuff. So I hope that you do find value from it. I am very thankful for you guys. And with that, I'm going to say be safe. Have a phenomenal Thanksgiving, albeit socially distanced and minimally sized Thanksgiving. And everybody be safe. And we will talk to you in 2 weeks, if not before. Okay? Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Take care.